Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Happy New Year, everybody. First show of 2025 for the three of us. Malzi across from me. Donnie Football is in the house, and we hope you will be too over the next 4 hours. 412-928-9370. Our phone number, our text line. You can leave a voice message over on the Odyssey app. That was TJ Watt on the state of the Steelers defense. He is playing for the Defensive Player of the Year Award, and also trying to get the Steelers into a more advantageous playoff spot Saturday night when the Bengals come to town. I have something I want to read for you guys before we start, and that is a Christmas card that got sent to us by one of our
listeners. I was going to say, is it like a poem? Like, what are we doing here? Are we starting 2025 with like...
No, no haikus.
Steelers slam
poetry.
Don
Lapp used to do a haiku. I don't want to steal someone else's radio bit. We've never done that on the show.
I'll tell you what, Dunlap, though, might be contributing to today's show in a very meaningful way.
Yeah, he's trying to already shake me down for the $100 I owe him for a fake bet we made. It wasn't even
a real bet.
Silly bet.
Very real bet.
Nobody pays
Everyone
me when I win my
the
bets.
The legitimacy of the bet.
Howard Eskin still owes me $500.
That's a Howard Eskin problem.
Adam Crowley still needs to walk across the Clemente Bridge in a thong for his outrageous Pirates
I think
prediction.
Doran still has to get a West Virginia tattoo somewhere on his person.
Doran owes me double or nothing, triple to nothing bets he's lost. I've never seen
He owes me a lot of beer, actually. But
yeah. But I apparently owed Colin $100 for not bowling a 300 game.
It was the glee with which he saw us walking down the hall, the three of us, three amigos, and he just immediately cut right
through. Donnie was more excited
for
me losing this bet to Dunlap than he was when Troy picked off Flacco.
He cut right through with, you owe me $100.
Yeah. And Donnie's like, yes, Pony got effed. Yeah.
I mean, it was funny. I have to concede, it was very funny.
Have the guy take a tire iron to his knees if he doesn't pay you by Friday. That's what his reaction was.
Moose, Rocco, help Pony find his checkbook.
So I have...
You have something
I have
that's
a card that got sent to us.
Hopefully it's something that's going to brighten our spirits here.
Well, there's a musical accompaniment to it. I think the music will give it away. You know, some of these cards you open up and it plays a song or something?
Yeah.
So this one did not come in the card, but some music
to
was,
accompany you
was recommended.
It. Okay.
For it, yeah.
Well, this is a uplifting bit.
Hi, guys. I'm still around, but I didn't want to call in and be a downer. I'm still not drinking the Kool-Aid. It's been a weird year, but Daisy and I are doing okay. I hope you and your families are doing well. Please enjoy them in your holidays. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. From Candy in Monroeville.
Hell yeah, Candy! Yes!
Yes, one of the queens of the PM team.
Absolutely love to hear it. Now, a New Year's resolution is a show we should undertake here. We got to follow through when we say we're going to do something. We meant to send Candy just, frankly, a nice card, I think.
Well, I want to send her cat toys for Daisy, is what I
sure,
want.
Sure, whatever. something nice for her, and we didn't get around to doing it, and we need to do it.
Yeah, so the good news is Candy, who is...
She's admitted. She's in her mid-80s.
One of our elder statesmen here.
Stateswoman.
Or that. So, yes, she's doing okay, but she's not calling in because she thinks she'd be so negative. That's really...
Has she heard Lou in Staten Island?
To me, the theme of this is the Steelers and the state of play here has gotten her in the dump so bad that the best she can do is send us a holiday card and doesn't and can't call in because she's maybe afraid or doesn't want to bring the mood of the show down. I don't know.
Again, she knows that I'm part of this show, right? Like, the mood of the show is at a consistent low rhythm because I am half of the show. Or a third of the show. I think we should really give Donnie his true due.
That's why I try to say PM team and not Pony and Mueller, because I feel like Donnie's an equal party in this. Okay, so I'm going to let a little bit of the cat out of the bag, not Candy's cat.
Not Daisy,
one of our cats. Donnie is picking the Bengals to win on Saturday. He just said that on our picks page over on our website, 937thefan.com. He'll say it tomorrow when he's hosting with Starkey. He likes Cincy. So he's going to have them going into the playoffs on a four-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened in Steelers history? I don't think so.
It could have been, what, a five-gamer, but they had the one half against the Colts in 2020 where they got...
They sunk so badly, they go in, having lost four in a row, just tail between their legs. I still hold out hope for this team. Joey Porter Jr. talked today. He's going to play. Not that he did a bang-up job on T. Higgins the last time. All he did was pretty much hold him the entire time and got called for like a record-setting amount of penalties in the game. I think they're going to win on Saturday, and I think they're going to win their first playoff game because they're playing Houston. And so we can debate once we get to that point whether or not that makes it a successful season or not. But I think they can get this thing back on the rails. You heard Watt talking there. I think that this defense is overrated, and it's definitely not worth $130 million, but I also don't think it's as bad as we've seen it over the last 3 weeks. We saw them earlier in the year do the best job by far of any team on Lamar Jackson, so it's in there. As you like to say, there is proof of concept with this defense. And so now it's healthy. It's basically called out itself. They've talked more crap on themselves than really the fans or the media has. So we get to see what they're made of in this game. On Saturday. And we've also seen this offense do a number on the pathetic Bengals defense. And
Bengals defense been better, though, since that game.
Better? I mean, did you see what happened at the end of the fourth quarter against Denver on Saturday?
They still have been better.
Yes, but they also, Bo Nix made four or five incredible plays, and they, what they did do in the game is it seems like, just from all the reporting that's coming out of there, is that their horrible management of the game at least cost them one of their best players. It doesn't look like Chase Brown is going to play against the Steelers, and he is taking the running back job there by the Rams.
By the brass.
Or the brass, whatever you want to say, sure.
I mean, they've got Joe Burrow, so I think they've got a pretty good chance to beat the Steelers.
Yes, and they've had Joe Burrow all year playing at an MVP level, and they've won as many games as they've lost. He has not missed a single game.
And if they beat the Steelers in this game, they will have won exactly one less game this year than the Steelers.
Yes. What's that mean?
You're kind of crapping all over them. And again, they're one win away from being damn near equals with the Steelers. That's all. It's bad right now, man. I don't have much faith. I think this team is revealing itself to be... It's like the Scooby-Doo meme where they pull the mask off the bad guy and it's the same face or whatever. Donnie, what's the wrestling one? Sting takes the mask.
Yeah, Sting takes off the
mask.
And
it's actually Sting. Yes. They are that, but in the bad way. It seems like to me, you're saying they're going to win and then they're going to get Houston as a result because the Ravens aren't going to lose as almost three touchdown favorites to the corpse of the Cleveland Browns, okay? So they'll be in the 4-5 game. Why does anybody think, other than the fact that it's the one team that doesn't appear to have a supernova at quarterback right now in the AFC, Stroud has not had a good year, why does anybody think that the Texans would be some great matchup? Do their edge rushers not lead the league in combined sacks at that position? Don't they have maybe the best outside rushing duo in football right now?
They don't score a lot of points, Chris.
What is the Steelers' big problem? And I admit this with pain in my heart because it's the guy I said was going to be superlative. Maybe he will be if they ever let him play the position he was drafted to play. Jones and Moore looked hideous against the Chiefs. Why would you go into a game against the Texans, hypothetically, with confidence that those two are going to hold up on the outside?
I don't know, because they've done it at various points this year. I know that Bosa got hurt early in the Chargers game, but they shut Khalil Mack down. It's not like they've let Trey Hendrickson beat them when they played the Bengals earlier in the year. Myles Garrett ruined one game against the Steelers and then did nothing in the other. Now, Hard Knocks made it out like he had asthma or some kind of like pneumonia and he was coughing the entire game. They tried to give him an excuse, but they haven't just spit the bit against all the elite pass rushers that they've played. This team is not as bad as it's played for the last three games. I refuse to believe that. And if they are, then we need to boil down or we need to figure out exactly what the problems are.
Wait, say they're not as bad as they've played the last three games. Why aren't they exactly what they've been the last three games, which is a team incapable of beating the actual best teams
because,
in the league?
No, it's not just losing to those teams. They've gotten killed by all three of those teams.
I'm not surprised they got crushed by the Eagles. They played three solid quarters against the Ravens, then got outclassed. And I'm not surprised that Andy Reid made Mike Tomlin look like he was playing Connect Four in their chess match.
It's the first time in almost 40 years that they've lost three straight games by double digits.
What matters to them right now with the postseason looming, they played three teams, all of whom could win the Super Bowl this year. No one would be surprised. And they didn't even look like they were close to on the same level because they're not.
And they're not playing Super Bowl contenders in the next 2 weeks. They're playing an elite offense with a horrible defense. And they're playing a team that literally is only in the playoffs because it plays in the worst division in the entire league.
Do you think they'll be favored against the Texans, assuming that's a matchup as a
real
team?
FanDuel already put out the hypothetical line for that game, and they're -1.5 right now.
Okay.
That's not a big favorite, but still, they think they're better.
Well, it's like functionally a 4.5-point favorite because they're on a road game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't have good vibes at all. This looks like another Mike.
So you think this is going to be one of the all-time collapses and choke jobs in Steelers history?
Five of the last 7 years, they've lost three in a row in December. I just don't know. I know it's January now,
but in the last 2 years, they got red hot in December and January.
Oh, congratulations. And where did that get them in the playoffs last year?
Well, it got them a date with Buffalo, and I'm saying that's the difference this year. Is that you're not going to get Buffalo. You're going to get a team that won 9 games because they won 5 against the Titans, Colts, and Jags.
I am at the point now where I do not feel any kind of confidence in saying, oh, if we get the right matchup, we can flex a little bit here. I don't think this team has earned that. I don't think they've shown that they should be treated that
way. Well, they've already shown that they can beat the team that they're playing on Saturday, and they beat them there. And it's not like Burrow had an off game. They beat him when he was playing like he's played all year. That's when Russ cooked.
I actually felt like you made a good point after that game that was when their defense actually was playing well, that they played a despite the numbers
yes,
looking
and
like
now it's completely healthy. So now that this defense is completely healthy, just to make sure I hear you guys right.
Well, you just said Joey Porter Jr., who wasn't exactly good in that game. Why are you suddenly saying that, like, him being back and other guys being
I don't know, because
matters?
He's better than Cam Sutton and James Pierre and the other jabronis that they'd have to put out there for
that's,
this one?
That's some faint praise you're choosing to damn them with. I don't think there's much reason to feel all that good about this football team at this point. They appear to be exactly who some people thought they were. An above-average team, but by no means a great team. And unfortunately, they're playing a team whose one side of the ball, at least, is playing great. Neither side of the ball is looking good for the Steelers.
Well, I still think they're going to end up, at the end of the day, meeting our expectations. They're going to finish with double-digit wins, and they're going to win a playoff game.
I will be surprised if obviously the first part happened. I will be surprised if the second part does.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You and Russ weren't on the same page in that interception against the Chiefs. How does that happen, and what do you guys do to address it?
You said me and Russ wasn't on the same page?
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
Or is that what you said?
That's what he said. How do you just address that?
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Two things can be true. George Pickens showed when he was out how important he is to the Steelers' offense. and that he is their best weapon and a true star at the position and all those things. The guy's also a total asshat, and I feel totally comfortable saying that. I mean, just, I don't know. You don't want to answer the question.
Well, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He thought he was going to say, like, oh, no, it's me saying that. And when Saunders, to his credit, dug in and said, no, Russ said you weren't on the same page. It's like when you get caught in a lie and you, like, can't Costanza your way out
so
of it.
So his answer is to just storm off and have the PR person say, all right, thanks, guys. He's just a maddening player. He's just the all-time example of the Lady Justice with the scales going back and forth. And, oh my God, he's so good. But holy crap, he's such a pain in the ass and a headache sometimes. And the worst part about it is that I wish it were just one of those things where we brought up incidents like this and fans barked back and said, guys, like, lay off George. Who the hell cares what kind of answer he gives to Allen in the locker room before a game? The issue is, or the problem is, he's bringing up something that happened in the game that we can debate the varying degrees to which it contributed to a turnover that completely changed the momentum and possibly even the outcome of that very important game. And that's the problem, is that when things like this come up, we have to do this endless circle, like we're a hamster constantly spinning on a wheel of, well, yeah, he screwed up, but, you know, maybe it'll be the last time it happens. Maybe he'll grow from this. Maybe he'll learn from this. And he just never does.
And his head coach, by the way, continued to take his side.
Yes.
No, it's Russ. It's George's route had nothing to do with it. Yet Arthur Smith says that wasn't basically what I'm paraphrasing here. That wasn't the route combo we were supposed to have there.
And every ex-player that's looked at it has said, yeah, Pickens had a lot to do with that interception.
I think Mike's...
Roethlisberger said it. Kurt Warner said it. Hell, guys that aren't even wide receivers, Burleson said it right away after it happened during the game.
I think most fans that have even a passing understanding of, like, what makes players do what, like, cause and effect in football, understand when they see it and Burleson says it, like, oh, yeah, that he should have done that. I think Mike just continuing to run interference for him is, like, the worst part. He's just cast his lot with, I am just very rarely going to ever come down on the player. It's funny that we're talking about this when one of the most recent tweets I've seen is from another one of the Steelers. It's your guy, Derek Bell, just saying, are people aware of what's happening in Jacksonville right now? And what is that an excuse to say? Brian Thomas looks outrageously good for them.
I went viral the other day. I never thought it would happen. I literally just posted the guy's stats and said, the Steelers' season would be much better off had they merely just drafted this guy. And some of the responses, I mean, it got millions of impressions, which I never thought it would.
Oh, yes.
That's not a humble brag. It's just, you never know.
Millions.
You never know, like, what's going to, you know, people like are going to latch onto.
Like when you post a picture of gumbo that looks really unfortunate.
Exactly.
And it gets 20 million impressions.
And so I did get hundreds of responses like, no, Fautanu was the right pick.
From who?
From Steelers fans. From Steelers
fans. People who have, like, Blitzberg or Minkaberg or whatever.
Yeah, but just across the spectrum of fans. I would rather have playmakers, and I know it all starts with the offensive line.
Well, you'd also
rather
have an insurance policy where you just say, George, you know what, man? Like, thanks for your time. We're probably looking to deal you this offseason if you drafted Brian Thomas.
I still think I would be
You'd be considering it anyway, but I'm saying you wouldn't. It would be like an open and shut case at this point.
I mean, we talked about this the last time the Steelers played the Bengals, and I have a much stronger opinion on it now. I'm absolutely someone who thinks it's going to be a crazy bidding war, but I'll take T. Higgins and then trade George and use the pick I get back for George or another one of my early picks to take a wide receiver, and my wide receiver room for next year is T. Higgins, highly thought of rookie wide receiver, Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. And I think I'll be better off than I am right now.
T. Higgins is making himself a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, and all the wide receiver needy teams like the Raiders and Patriots who have a bajillion dollars, and maybe Burrow is going to continue to, like, cajole the skinflint Mike Brown into doing something and keeping him because he keeps doing that literally at every press conference. So he gets a chance to talk. He's bringing up pay T. Higgins, pay T. Higgins, pay T. Higgins. But the Bengals do have a tendency to screw stuff like this up. So he probably will become a free agent. The Steelers should try very, very hard to get him. And then once you do that, you have the insurance policy that you're talking about, Chris, to deal George Pickens. Because I am at wit's end about this. I really am.
Well, that one's just as funny because, I'll say to Allen's credit, he has the story correct. George, I think, who's a smart guy, I think, trying to play dumb about it and say, are you sure about that? And Allen was sure about what he was saying to him. And that just to clam up, I don't know. It's just a bad look. I'm not going to, say it's the end of the world. Go out and get me 8 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown in this game, and they win, and no one's going to care. But in the moment, right now, when that's what we have to talk about, it's a bad
look.
Don,
you'll be hosting After Us tonight following Jeff Capel, so you'll have a big canvas to paint on. Your take on what we're hearing from Pickens and all the fallout from the route he didn't run on Christmas when you were at the game.
Also very timely. I plan on having Alan Saunders on at 9 o'clock, who's now become the man of the hour when I ask him this question. Pony, I know people will take what you say about the hypothetical future receiver room and just think it's outlandish, like it'll never happen. But who's to say it can't or it shouldn't? Because we've seen the Steelers rearrange a more important room in their locker room, and that was the quarterback position this past season. They completely wiped the slate clean there and brought in two guys.
You sure it's a more important room for them? The way they treat it and the way they've handled it, it might not be.
Well, it's the most important position in the game. I'm just speaking generally there.
I'm messing with you.
But they've. It's not like they haven't done this recently, and they can completely... No, they're not going to take out every single receiver, but with the quarterbacks, completely wipe it clean and bring in two guys that people didn't expect them to. So why can't they do what you say?
I'm asking you, though, if you want them to do that.
I mean, I would not be upset about having T. Higgins on the roster. That's for damn sure. I don't want to get overly excited about it because it seems like everybody is kind of banking on that. But that dude is a hell of a player.
If your two options were give George $120 million or trade him for an early second round pick where you were picking basically between 33 and 40, what would you do?
And there's no guarantee they bring in a player?
Well, there's no guarantee they're going to bring in T. Higgins, but I would assume they're going to go out there and try to find a wide receiver, whether in a trade or in free agency.
Here's where that gets a little bit difficult. I would actually pay Pickens in that situation. Unless you can guarantee they actually get the job done with a receiver, I'm going to pay the guy I already have.
Well, the other
because they proved this past offseason that they can say all they want. It kind of sounds similar to the baseball team at times. They can say all they want how much they were in on certain guys. They didn't get them.
They also have this problem. Unlike most of the teams we've talked about that they would see in the playoffs, instead of, at this point, their quarterback making receivers look better, the truth of their offense is George Pickens makes the quarterback look better more often than not. Like, he's the guy who does more to help the guy throwing him the ball when it's supposed to be the other way around. That's why I kind of laughed when you said quarterback, the most important position. Man, the way they kind of structure these teams, it's not.
Well, it did look that way for the first two games of the losing streak, but it sure didn't on Christmas. They got George back, and Russ's numbers looked the same as they did against the Ravens and the same as they did against the Eagles, which is to say they looked mediocre. He didn't make a big difference. It was still the same crapola Steelers offense and pretty much grounded passing game.
I've flip-flopped on this, but I think I've settled back now on I would look to deal him. And this is the flawed logic that underpins me saying that, Pony. I watched Jeremiah Smith, who's 19 and isn't even draft eligible for 2 more years after this one, just be outrageously good in the Rose Bowl yesterday, and I am aware that the Steelers have no shot at him because they won't be bad enough to draft him because he'll be a top 5 pick, if not a top 3 pick when he does come out. But there's a lot of dudes in college football now who might not be him, but are within a degree or two of him enough that they'll be really good
pros.
Well,
how about his teammate?
Igbuka would be a good pick this year if they really wanted to address
Donnie,
wide receiver.
Donnie, how would you feel about Igbuka?
I think he's going to be a good to very good NFL player.
Chris and I had this conversation not long before
them and
the
LSU,
show started.
You almost can't go wrong now with one of those two schools.
I think it is always worth just taking a chance on an Ohio State or LSU receiver. If it is somebody who gets high marks across the board by scouts when it comes to draft time, why not take a chance on the guy? Because it is almost likely going to turn out pretty well.
We had an opportunity, obviously, to pull away and gave the ball back. But just defensively, we played so well all game long. You know, obviously, we had so much respect for their running back and Ashton Jeanty, and our defense just ran to the ball, gang tackle, wrapped, and really, for the most part, limited his impact in the game.
2:35, it's time for a College Football Minute, brought to you by Gina G. and Petro of RE/MAX Select Realty. James Franklin, as far as I'm concerned, James Franklin's record, his Andrew Filippone playoff record, still 0-0. You beat SMU and Boise State. Congratulations on all your success. Now the real tournament starts.
They haven't beaten a team where they're going to be a dog. Two double-digit favorite games. And honestly, and I know this is why Boise's Boise and this is why they aren't the better team. Boise kicked themselves out of that game. Jeanty fumbled himself out of that game. That game was much closer than a 17-point spread made it look. I thought that game probably should have been tied or within 3 points for the majority of the fourth quarter. I'll give them credit, though.
Oh, here we go.
I will give them credit.
They Penn did State hater giving the Nittany Lions a little bit
of
love.
They did a number on Jeanty. I think they showed. I think Franklin is not like pulling one of his, we beat him, now I'll say something like sort of smarmy that sounds conciliatory. They were holding on to him by the ankles as soon as they got like a hand on him on any of his runs, because I think they did know that if they didn't try to wrap him up low, he was probably going to break
Donnie
the game.
Donnie saw it
on
all year in high school football. That happens. You get these matchups, especially in high school ball, where one team has one dude, and it's basically 1-on-11. And that's what it was in that game.
Yeah, I'm giving them credit because they ended up winning by 3 scores. In Texas, Arizona State was 1 guy on 11. And that one guy, even though he was puking his guts out, almost won the game.
And he would make a great Steeler, Cam Scadaboo.
What's he running the 40, like 5-2?
I don't care about 40 times.
What do you think is his best quality that Steelers fans would like?
Grit.
How about so?
Determination.
Is he very tenacious? He's very deceptively
fast. First guy
fast.
In, last guy out.
Oh, my God, the lunch pail lunch this guy carries with
him. He has him in each hand.
See, you guys are doing a
He's
bit here.
He's got him stacked up here.
You guys are doing a bit. I'm not.
What I bit? Think What's the bit?
The bit is you think that Steelers fans would like him because he's big, tough, white running back.
There you go. I just wanted you to say
I think
that.
They should see what Toby Gearhart's up to.
I actually enjoyed watching people try to come up with a non-white running back comparison. Like, he reminds me of Allstott and Peyton Hillis. And I'll give Carrington Harrison, our buddy in Kansas City, he said he is like a little bit of a stockier Pacheco. Like, he tries to seek out contact. Pacheco's...
like that comparison.
It is a good comp. I mean, Pacheco, somebody said, runs like he's trying to bite somebody.
Well, he ain't going to try to jump over you like Najee. He wants to run over you. And they need a guy in their offense who's a straight line, knock you on your ass runner.
All right,
That'd be a great change of pace to go with Jalen Warren.
All right, me not doing a bit here.
Phenomenal 1-2 punch. I'd take him in the third round.
Me not doing a bit here says the reason why if they were to take him in the third round, I wouldn't be as annoyed and I wouldn't be giving you a hard time about it.
A touchdown pass, can catch it out of the backfield.
Him as the 75th pick in the draft, or like the 85th pick in the draft, is a hell of a lot different than Najee in the top 25. Much different.
Yeah.
I still wonder about the ability of a guy whose whole thing is, I am just trying to run into you and run over you, how that works in the NFL.
Better athlete quotient? I mean, Texas'
Derrick
defense...
It works for Derrick Henry because he's also as fast as a sprinter in the
Texas's
open field.
Texas' defense probably has 7 or 8 pros on it. That he wasn't getting a ton of help, and everybody knew, like you said, they had to stop him because Hines Ward wasn't playing. He was coaching, and their top wide receiver was out.
He was a little bowling ball of hate, and they should have won that game. They got jobbed horribly in that game. The definition of a targeting call, and the refs are just like, oops,
yeah,
we didn't
right
see
that.
It. And they would have won. They would have won that game.
Do
I think.
Do you think it kind of sucks that like the one good game we've gotten so far is covered with the officials ruining it at the end?
I mean, how is that any different than the NFL games we watch on Sundays? It's pretty much par for the course. I've come to expect that referees are going to F things up. The thing that's frustrating about this is they look at it afterwards and they still can't get it right.
Correct. But I'm saying, like, this is the one good college – like, that was, like, the best college football playoff game we've gotten, and it's going to be remembered more for, oh, those guys missed an obvious targeting call.
I would still say, though, come on, Arizona State. It's 4th and 13. Get a friggin' stop there. Come on now.
Yeah, what are you calling a zero blitz and you don't get home with the blitz? Like, Ewers had time to just stand there and chill while he made the throw. I ripped the coverage on Twitter, and then I thought, wait a minute. They sent the entire house, and the house didn't get there.
Guy texting, I hate when you guys talk about Penn State. I don't know if that means he just hates Penn State conversation in general, or he hates about Penn State.
He hates the way we talk about it.
Well, here's the way I'm going to talk about Penn State.
Yeah.
They better hope. Well, actually, I'm not going to say they better hope for Georgia. I think Penn State's going to lose to whoever wins this game that kicks off in an hour and 20 minutes. I think Notre Dame would beat them.
I think Notre Dame's
going to win. And I think Georgia would beat them, too, because if Georgia beats Notre Dame, that means the quarterback
is actually
can probably
better than,
play.
Yes.
Exactly.
And he it apparently drives a very old truck, and everyone loves that story, that he drives like a 1985 F-150.
What's his name? I almost said Cale Berger. Carson Beck drives a Lamborghini.
Yes.
From his NIL money.
Very different. I think Notre Dame is going to win the game. Notre Dame, not hateable right now, Donnie, at all. Freeman's a
Notre
very...
Notre Dame has become likable for
Freeman,
Chris Muller.
Freeman, very likable coach. Like, just quiet, kind of does his thing. Brian Kelly, incredibly unlikable when he was there. Piece of garbage, really, if we're being honest. Hothead. I have no ill will right now in my heart towards Notre Dame. And I think they would beat up Penn... I don't think it would be like a lopsided game.
So who would you root for in that game?
Notre Dame. I can't believe I'm saying it.
How about you, Don?
I can't believe that was one of the only teams I would always hold out and say I'd probably, like, gun to my head, root for Penn State.
I was
going to
say that might be like the rare time where I root for Penn State.
No, I'm rooting for I'm rooting for the Fighting Irish if that game comes to pass. I'll say this: there will be a big part of me that does want Penn State to beat Georgia if that's the game, because of all these SEC. Look at the SEC merchants. Bama would have done better, and then what do they go out and do? Lose to Michigan Skrabinskis and Skrabinos, baby. I'll plant my flag on this.
Kirk Herbstreit's become insufferable on that stuff.
Even Feinbaum had to give up the ghost. I will root for Penn State if they play Georgia. Or by root, I mean I will like grit my teeth and go, I kind of want them to win.
What's happened to Herbstreit?
I will root for Notre Dame over Penn State.
Herbstreit almost acts like he hates college football while he's making millions of dollars calling all these games and working in college football.
Not a great look for him. I think that's very well said by you.
It also sounds like he hates Ohio State. Even though he played at Ohio State. He's like overcorrected so hard that he sent his kid to Michigan.
I was just going to say, do you think that's the overcorrection? Does he have a beef with Ryan Day?
No, he's been supportive of Ryan Day. Remember he said, I wonder what they're going to talk about on First Take now that Ryan Day won this game, and Shannon Sharp basically said, I'd like to meet you in a back alley, Kirk Herbstreit. Because that would be a one-sided ass-kicking...
I mean, Shannon Sharp is still in, like, playing shape.
How many dudes that work for ESPN would be able to beat up
Shannon
Sharp?
He's still having a lot of sex. Remember that Instagram thing he put out not too long ago?
That was a work, not a shoot.
All right, that was a college football.
Man, you know who has to be on cloud nine? The guy that's on line three right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
Man.
I don't know if that guy even has pants on right now. I'm a little uncomfortable about the idea of taking the call.
I think both of you guys pointed it out yesterday, although it is pretty glaringly obvious. What a blessing in disguise it was that Penn State lost that Big Ten title game.
Or else they'd have seen them some Ohio State, probably. They looked like
Ohio State looks far and away.
They looked
like
a buzzsaw.
Yeah, the seating in this thing is all jacked.
I actually think Notre Dame might be the only team left that can beat them.
They were toying with the only the number one undefeated team in the country.
I can't believe I'm saying. I think Notre Dame is the only team left that could.
Well,
beat
Dylan
them.
Gabriel's a fraud. I mean, we watched him play Pitt. How many years ago was that? It almost feels like that was 10 years ago when he was at UCF.
Might have
probably was. It's college football.
I think James Robinson was still playing point guard at Pitt when he was at UCF.
That was when they hit that Philly special against UCF. Remember that? Pitt?
Yes, I actually do.
Is that seriously when it was?
Yeah, he played in that game.
That was like 2018.
he played for UCF.
He's a sixth-year senior. Because they were talking about him trying to break Case Keenum's records, and they pointed out Keenum was a six-year guy
as well. Did you guys see the video of him where he took a gummy and then like ended up having to do media day?
Who?
At the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, he looked high.
Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, no, I did not see that one.
All right.